Good morning, Jane, and welcome. I'm sure our readership will be very interested to hear from you something about the background and aims of the Bishara magazine and its editorial standpoint, what distinguishes it from or differentiates it from other publications that also deal with contemporary issues. And perhaps we could begin with the meaning of the word Bishara.
Well, Bishara is an ancient Aramaic word, which means good news or omen of joy. And it has a spiritual meaning, as in both the Bible and in the Quran. It's associated with the Annunciation. It means good news, and it's the good news brought by the angel Gabriel to Mary when Jesus was conceived. But that said, it's important to emphasize that the magazine is not connected with any one religion. It is completely non-denominational, and we have articles from all the religious traditions, both Eastern and Western, as well as things which take a secular point of view. But it is nevertheless concerned with bringing into expression, or you might say awakening, the spiritual aspect of what's happening in the world today.
I'm wondering, where do you find evidence of spiritual awakening, especially at a time when the world is in such a difficult state with extremes of politics and global problems such as the climate crisis?
Well, it is true that if you look at the surface of events, then the situation does look pretty grim right now. And it would be foolish to underestimate the problems that we face as a human race. But to take a spiritual perspective is to look below the surface to the deeper movements that are going on. And if you do that, it's clear that there are a lot of very interesting and positive things happening at the moment, at the level of ideas, at the level of people's personal awareness and their awareness and compassion for others, and at the level of activities with many interesting projects being undertaken all over the world. And so this means that whilst you could see that what's happening at the moment simply as a breakdown in the way of life we'd followed for centuries, it's also possible that we're in a period of transition towards a new way of understanding, you know, a new stage of development from one to another. So beneath the apparent chaos and incoherence, something new is in formation. So just to take an example, you know, climate change is clearly very destructive and has the ability to be utterly devastating for all life on the planet. But at the same time, it's forcing us to acknowledge the interconnectedness of everything in the world and to acknowledge our own role in regards to the natural world. And this is bringing about a new level of awareness and generating, as I said, all sorts of new ideas, which might be presages of what could come about in the future. And I think I want to say that we don't claim any special knowledge about what things will prove to be important in the future. All we can do is to explore things which look as if they have the potential to bring about a better future.
So how do you identify this good news that you see as emerging in different fields? And does it, or how does it connect with the magazine's byline, which is unity in the contemporary world?
Well, spirit and a movement towards unity always go together. You know, a spiritual understanding of things always entails a greater sense of connectivity, a greater sense of being part of a bigger whole. If you read the descriptions by people who have had profound spiritual experiences, you will find that they always talking about a feeling of being at one with nature or at one with other people, or ultimately, if they're of a religious bent, of being one with a higher divine reality. And in the same way, spiritual development is understood as a process of coming to a greater degree of integration and wholeness within ourselves. In the contemporary world, especially in the West, many people no longer have a traditional understanding of spirituality as we find it in the religious traditions. And in many cases, you know, the idea of a personal God, as we find in Christianity or in Islam, is actually foreign or unwelcome to them. But this doesn't mean that they don't have a sense of a greater reality or of being part of something beyond themselves. So it seems that now this sense of connectivity is being expressed in secular terms. And this is why we talk about unity rather than spirit, or we talk about a unifying perspective, which is a longer byline. And as part of this, I should also perhaps mention that the magazine is published and supported by the Bishara Trust, which is an educational charity which is explicitly focused on bringing out the meaning of unity.
Yes, and I have here the text with the aims of the Bishara Trust, which read, "The advancement of education in consideration of the basic unity of all religions, in particular by the provision of courses to provide an understanding of the relationship of humanity to the universe, to the earth, to the environment and society, to reality and to God."
Yes, I mean, most of us working on the magazine have taken courses run by the Bishara Trust. I myself did my first long residential course with them in 1978, which is more than 40 years ago now. And all that we are doing on the magazine continues to be under the umbrella of these aims. The formal courses run by the Trust take as their metaphysical foundation the work of the 12th century Islamic mystic Ibn Arabi, whose view was explicitly based on what is often referred to as the unity of being.
So does that mean the study at Bishara is solely from Islamic texts?
No, on the contrary. No, after gaining a metaphysical foundation, the students on the courses go on to look at texts from many traditions, such as the Gospels, the Bhagavad Gita, and the Tao Te Ching. And the aim here is to understand that in their essential meaning, all these texts are pointing to the same unified perspective. And the magazine is a very direct extension of this, in that it tries to show how the same truth is being brought out in modern forms of expression.
So could you give us an example of how unity is currently being expressed in secular terms?
Well, a really exciting example is what's happening at the moment in the physical sciences, where it seems that we are in the process of transition from a physics in which matter is seen as the fundamental stuff of the universe to one in which consciousness is primary. And this is a huge change, because whereas matter looks like lots of different separate bits, lots of things, consciousness at a cosmic level is singular. And what's being talked about, even in physics, is essentially one underlying consciousness which manifests itself in each individual person or thing in a specific way. So we have a physics developing in which everything in the world is understood as coming out of a single non-physical source. And this has great resonance, obviously, with all the religious traditions. But this doesn't mean that the scientists working on these new theories are becoming Christians or Buddhists or whatever, and taking on the trappings of a traditional faith. Rather, what seems to be developing is a new way of understanding the world and our own role in it, where the perennial truths that used to be expressed in religious terms are being explicated in scientific terms. And this is very exciting, and it's really a privilege to be able to talk to some of the people directly who are involved in developing this new kind of science, people like Bernardo Kastrop or Frederico Fagin, or coming up in our current issue, Ian McGilchrist. And these people have been very generous in allowing us to interview them and talk to them at length about what ideas are coming out.
And do you find similar movements towards a unifying perspective are also happening in other fields besides science?
Yes, of course. I mean, in biology and ecology, as we've already said, or economics, where, again, the idea of the interconnectedness of the world is an unavoidable fact these days, or in the movement for social justice, where the underlying principle is that we are one humanity.
It strikes me that there is both an inner and an outer aspect to this unfolding that you describe.
Yes, indeed. Bishara is actually primarily interested in self-knowledge, in that the first and most essential place in which we can come to an understanding of unity is in ourselves, coming to know that we are not separate, disconnected individuals, but manifestations of a whole, whether we understand that in terms of an ultimate oneness or a relationship with each other or the environment, like Indigenous people do.
I notice in the categorization of subject matter in the magazine that, as well as conventional areas like science, religion, the arts, economics, ecology, and so on, that your top category is entitled A Thing of Beauty. I'm wondering, is this significant? Why is beauty important to Bishara?
Because again, beauty and the concept of oneness are intrinsically connected. I don't want to go into too much detail here about the perennial traditions of wisdom, but from Aristotle onwards, oneness, beauty, and goodness have been synonymous terms. And in the vision of Neoplatonism and of Ibn Arabi, the very motive for creation of the world is seen as the desire of the one to witness its beautiful qualities in concrete form. Putting it in more contemporary terms, the philosopher Ian McGilchrist, whom we've just interviewed for issue 23, talks about values such as beauty and truth as being ontological primitives, meaning that they are things that we perceive directly. They're not derived from anything else, and they are not secondary effects of experience. Rather, they speak directly to the heart. And I think most of us know firsthand that a recognition of beauty gives us a sense of wholeness, of integration. It reminds us that there's something more than this mundane life. And the principle of beauty is not just the subject of some of our articles. We make an effort in our presentation in the magazine to try to include this dimension of experience, you know, through the layout and the illustrations. And it's actually been one of the pleasures of publishing online to find that digital media has possibilities that print doesn't have. So, for instance, we can put a zoom facility onto an image if it's especially delightful or complex so that readers can explore it in detail. And we also try to make the illustrations meaningful, not mere ancillaries to the written word, and they tell a story in their own right. And I hope in the future we might be able to extend this to producing material in other forms, which the digital world offers, such as, for instance, digital podcasts. But we are a very small group producing the magazine at the moment. The editorial group is entirely voluntary, and most of us have other jobs. So time is a limiting factor on what we can do.
So, to sum up, then, you're bringing together ancient themes that reality is a unity, that beauty runs through it from the foundations, that we are not atomized, isolated entities. You're bringing together these themes with the issues of our present day and with the sense of a possible spiritual transformation. Is that correct?
Yes, I suppose so, more or less. Exploring the challenges we face from a unified perspective, seeing them as part of a bigger journey that we're making as human beings, must ultimately see something that encourages and gives us strength, brings us joy, if you like, going back to the meaning of the name Bishara.
Thank you very much, Jane.
Thank you.